Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll visit with the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, Colonel Eric Kerska, from Camp Arif John, Kuwait. And later in the show, we'll visit with Minnesota National Guard Chaplain, Captain Vince Hokanen. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This is my second holiday season as the Adjutant General of Minnesota, and I want to extend my warmest greetings and best wishes to the men and women of the Minnesota National Guard, their families, and the citizens of Minnesota. There have been many times in history when Americans in uniform spent Christmas on battlefields and were stationed at posts far from their families and far from home. As we celebrate this holiday season, thousands of soldiers and airmen are serving in combat theaters and elsewhere around the world. I know the holiday season is especially difficult for those service members who are unable to spend it with their loved ones. These troops sacrifice their holidays so that fellow Americans can safely enjoy theirs. In doing so, they are part of a tradition that dates back to our nation's founding. I hope that all of you who are putting your lives at risk every day for our country feel the pride, affection, and admiration of your fellow citizens. It is your courage that preserves the freedom we inherited from our forefathers. It is your sacrifice and that of your predecessors in uniform that enables Americans to enjoy a safe and peaceful holiday. To the service members of Minnesota who watch out for our nation, I thank you for your service and I pray for your safe return home. To the families who share their loved ones to defend our great nation, I thank you for your sacrifices and support. Have a safe and happy holiday. God bless you all.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now from Camp Arif John, Kuwait, is Colonel Eric Kerska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team for the Minnesota National Guard. Colonel Kerska, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
Colonel, we were over there to visit you in November and enjoyed the visit at Camp Virginia, but for those listeners that don't know, you have soldiers from all over Minnesota under your command, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, we've got the largest deployment of Minnesota soldiers since World War II. We've got roughly 2,700 Minnesotans here, as well as three different battalions attached to us from different states, from Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Tennessee. And we're one of the biggest units over here.
And Colonel, you were telling us on the November show when we were there that one of the missions for the 1st Brigade Combat Team was convoy security for all the convoys coming out of Iraq. And as we all know that you've finished that, I understand you were on the last brigade truck out of Iraq.
I was. The convoys ended for us at 7:03 a.m. on 18th of December, 2011. It was a great day for the brigade, Tom.
I'll bet there was a big sigh of relief. The last 30 days had to be a little worried and a little tense, and it sounds like we got everybody out safely.
Yeah, it was kind of emotional for me. It's kind of hard to explain. You know, we spent all night out there. We went out and made sure the route was clear. We sent out three platoons from 2 of the 135 Infantry to make sure that last half of the route was safe, was clear of the enemy. We kept it clear of the enemy all night long, and it was a long night out there in the dark and the cold and thinking about the last, you know, different times in that area of my life and, you know, thinking about I tried to name all the names in my head and see all the faces of those we lost, and it was kind of a long night, but a lot of pride, a lot of relief it was over, and but I guess pride was probably the biggest emotion. We hit that border, it was quite the feeling to know what we'd done, what we'd achieved.
Colonel, in your career, you've been deployed over there multiple times. You were there at the beginning, the middle, the end. This had to be particularly emotional for you.
I think so. The first time I was here, the Gulf War ended in roughly the exact spot of where we crossed that last convoy. We were within 30 miles of that same spot when the Gulf War ended in 1991, my particular company was. So to be in that same spot 21 years later and finally drawing it to a close, and then we crossed the border, and, there's quite a surprise. There's some of my soldiers that, unbeknown to me, they had my brigade colors flying there to greet us, and so I got to see that, them standing there at attention with the colors flying. We cleared our weapons, and then we kind of pulled over, and everybody looked at each other and kind of celebrated. I pulled a cigar out that I'd been saving and cut in half, and Sergeant Major and I shared a cigar, and it was neat to see the faces of all these young soldiers that had just gotten this done, and we put all those miles on, all that enemy activity, and we all got through it without significant injury. It was an awesome feeling.
We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team for the Minnesota National Guard from Camp Arifjan, Kuwait, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Colonel, when we were there, you were telling us about how many convoys you'd escorted and how many miles you've driven. What was the final tally in terms of missions in and out of Iraq, and how much did your Red Bulls accomplish?
Well, we're still actually trying to tally up all the numbers. We haven't had a break to sit it all down, but we did roughly 2.5 million miles. We saw somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 IEDs. We found two of them before they went off, which is unheard of for a convoy unit these last few years. We engaged the enemy on multiple occasions, and all those miles, all that enemy activity, and we got out virtually without a scratch. That feels awful good.
It's quite an accomplishment, sir. We've seen on the television news and so forth, and I saw when we were over there visiting with you that there's an awful lot of equipment came out of Iraq, and a lot of our troops came out of there. I imagine you've still got a big job to sort through all of that equipment and get the troops home and so forth. Got to be still a big job in front of you.
Well, there's plenty of work left to do, Tom. During this drawdown, the base management folks from the brigade, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40,000 soldiers came through those camps on their way home for Christmas, and we had to manage all that. We had to provide all the life support for that. So they're kind of the unsung heroes, those guys behind the scenes that made life bearable for all those soldiers on the move.
The logistics of just feeding and getting water to all of those soldiers and troops coming through, as we talked about on that show in November, it's a huge undertaking, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is.
Now, Colonel, I'm curious, have a lot of the troops that came out of Iraq, we're reading every day that they're unloading another plane full of troops coming home. Did a lot of those get to keep right on going and come through, or a lot of them still being processed?
No, they processed most of them through out of here. I mean, some of the forces will stay here with us, but for the most part, they all went home. And last I heard, they were going to get just about everybody out in time. Couldn't quite get them all out by Christmas, but they're going to get the vast majority out.
That was a great job done, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about the ongoing mission of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team from Kuwait, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us.
I'm Specialist Albee, coming from Fob Fasab, Afghanistan. Just want to wish all my family and friends back in Minnesota a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I'll see you guys soon.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my guest today is Colonel Eric Kurska, commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, Red Bulls, of the Minnesota National Guard. And Colonel, I've got a copy of a letter here from the Secretary of the Army, the Chief of Staff, and the Sergeant Major of the Army about the completion of the drawdown in Iraq, and I'd like to read a portion of it. It says, "The magnitude of what this nation and our soldiers have accomplished in Iraq is unprecedented. We have never been more proud of our Army, our soldiers, civilians, and our families. You freed over 25 million people from tyranny and given hope when hope was forsaken. Our Army provided new opportunity for the people of Iraq. No other army in the world could have accomplished what you have done, only American soldiers. It goes on to say, we remember those that have made the ultimate sacrifice, our wounded warriors, our Gold Star families, and all of our loved ones who have been touched by the horror of war. Their sacrifices have given meaning to the values and ideals. For that, we thank them. A grateful nation will always remember, respect, and appreciate these heroes as the next greatest generation. We're extremely proud of all our soldiers, civilians, and families. Our Army has once again proved that it is America's force of decisive action. Thank you for a job well done. And, sir, I'm certain that there's a similar message that went out to the Air Force, Navy, and Marines. That's quite a message coming from the Secretary of the Army.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, and we took it all to heart. It meant a lot to us.
Colonel, now that portion of your mission is done, I know that the other portions of it that we talked about when I was there was base management and security, and you also were preparing a rapid reaction force. How has the mission of the 1st Brigade Combat Team changed now that the Iraq part of the drawdown is over?
Well, it really hasn't changed. We no longer do the convoy escort mission. That's over. That's behind us. The rest remains. We've known about it. We've been preparing. We've been doing it. The base management will continue, although with a lot fewer customers, of course, but it's still going to continue. There's still going to be soldiers here to serve. And for people that have to move in and out of this country, we will be focusing our main efforts on the regional reaction forces. We've been working on that for quite a long time, but that's been a secondary effort till now. So now that's going to be our main effort, and we're going to swing full speed ahead into training that force to be able to do that mission.
Colonel, I saw on the 1st Brigade's Facebook page that you're doing some joint training exercises with the Kuwaitis.
We are. You know, one of the big things we're trying to do is, build on the regional partnerships over here to keep the coalition going. It's actually been very, very valuable training. It's been interesting for the soldiers. The soldiers get a kick out of it. Actually, they get to train side by side with people from other countries. So far, Bahrain and Kuwait are the only two we've been training with, but we're looking to expand that. Just had a big exercise just yesterday with the Kuwaiti military over here. We did a live fire defense exercise where our soldiers were firing their weapons side by side with the Kuwaitis. So that was interesting.
And Colonel, I'm sure our listeners are going to wonder how is Christmas going to be in Kuwait for the brigade.
Well, Christmas away from home, deployed overseas, is always a little bit different. I think it's different for everybody. I tend to be pretty low key about it. I had a family member send a coffee cake over, and so I'm going to open that up on Christmas morning for the people on shift here in the TAC. And some people have a day off, but few will, and the rest will just go on business as normal. And a little bit slower of a day, we hope, but time to go to church. And got a lot of soldiers wearing Santa Claus hats around here, and we'll celebrate the best we can.
Another day at work for all of your brigade combat team members stationed in Kuwait.
That's a fact. The work doesn't end over here.
Sir, a little later in the show, we're going to have Chaplain Hokanen on. We're going to talk about coping with the holidays for the families that have an empty seat at the table on Christmas. And we've got some ideas on him for things that are going on to try to help the families. But there are a lot of programs today available for the families, the Family Assistance Center, the Yellow Ribbon programs, the Chaplain Corps. There's an awful lot of things going on back here that to try to make those to help those families out these days compared to 40 years ago when I came back from Vietnam.
Now the support has been overwhelming, and we feel like the families are pretty well taken care of back there.
We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team from Kuwait, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Colonel, just a couple more questions. I know that you've told me that the brigade will be there into April or May next year. You've got a lot of soldiers, and there's a number of them that are going to be looking for work when they come home.
That's right, Tom. It's we've got roughly 28% of the brigade don't have a job to come home to, and that's a big concern for us. You know, we've got a got a really talented brigade here, really talented staff that does a really good job on targeting the enemy. And the enemy for us is soon going to switch to unemployment. And so we're digging in on that and trying to figure out what we can do to prepare the soldiers so they have a better chance on finding a job when they get home.
Colonel, I think I know what the answer is because we've talked about this before, but how would you describe your soldiers? They're well-trained, disciplined, dedicated. They'd make great employees, wouldn't they?
They'd make excellent employees. You would not believe what these men and women can do. And they're so mature beyond their years, you know, the responsibilities that we put on them. They're honorable people that could make a great impact to anybody looking for an employee.
And the brigade's been pretty much working around the clock on this Iraqi drawdown, and your soldiers have done a great job, haven't they?
They have. They've done a phenomenal job. It's people back home should be awful proud of them.
Sir, we're just about out of time. Have you got any final thoughts for our listeners about Christmas or about the brigade and what kind of shape are your men in and women?
Well, just let the families know. I'd like the families to know back home that what the soldiers of this brigade have done these last 5 months, none of it happened by accident. You know, it's the leadership, the young sergeants, the young lieutenants, the very young corporals that keep the soldiers safe and keep the professionalism up and get the job done. So make sure they know that I'm humbled every day being around these people. And I guess I'd also like to pass on from my soldiers through you that tell them that we love them, we miss them, and we're going to get home to them as quickly as we can, and we're going to get home with honor.
Colonel, I'd like to thank you for taking time to join us today. I know you're very busy every day, and you're probably ready for bed, but I appreciate your coming on the show one more time.
Thank you, Tom. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you and the entire brigade. That was Colonel Eric Kerska, commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how Minnesota wives are going to Army Wives in South Carolina. The General John Vesey Minnesota Chapter of the Association of the United States Army is sending 3 military spouses to Charleston to be on the set of Lifetime's hit series, Army Wives. They'll be flown out in February for a 3-day, 2-night trip to watch production of the show's newest season. Who are they sending? The answer to that is largely left up to the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Facebook fans. The contest was announced in mid-December, and military spouses in Minnesota were immediately excited. Both Cammy Daly and Crystal Pesey posted in an awesome opportunity, while Allie Richards said she would be entering. To enter, Cammy, Crystal, and Allie will be uploading a 60-second video to Beyond the Yellow Ribbon's Facebook page. The videos will tell their personal stories about how they make it through their loved one being deployed. You can vote for your favorite story by liking it on Facebook before January 9th. Trip expenses will be taken care of by General Vesey Chapter and Highway Federal Credit Union. Thank you, AUSA and Highway Federal Credit Union, for making this chance-of-a-lifetime opportunity possible and for going Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. For contest rules, how to enter or to contribute, click the Minnesota Wives to Army Wives banner at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next, we'll visit with Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Governor Mark Dayton, on behalf of all Minnesotans, I want to say thank you for your service to our state and our nation, for your dedication to the cause of freedom and democracy around the world. On behalf of a grateful nation, thank you and happy holidays.
Specialist Trisha Betts with 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, currently stationed on Camp Arif John, Kuwait. I'd like to say happy holidays to my friends and family in Scania, Minnesota. I'll see you soon, guys.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
Steve Kleinglass, director of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, has retired after 39 years of service. Steve was a tremendous partner to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and for that, we cannot thank him enough. Steve's outstanding leadership and commitment to providing exceptional health care to our heroes has made him an invaluable asset to the state. On behalf of the 380,000 veterans in Minnesota, we thank you, Steve, for your service to this state and country, and wish you the best in your retirement. As 2011 comes to a close, I would like to thank all of our listeners who have tuned into Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I look forward to the things to come in 2012 and hope you will continue to join us on News Talk 1130, Sunday mornings, or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now from the Minnesota National Guard is Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen. Chaplain, welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
How's it going, Tom? Good to hear from you and good to be with you again.
Doing well, sir. But for those folks that haven't maybe missed you on a prior show, can you tell us, while the 1st Brigade Combat Team is deployed to Kuwait, you're back here taking care of the families, aren't you?
I absolutely am, and there's all manner of issues, and we're working really hard to make sure that the family gets their needs met, and there's all kinds of resources out there to help them, and we're just plugging away and addressing them so the soldiers can keep their focus on their mission and doing their job.
And, Chaplain, one of the things that these families are going through is how to cope with the holidays when you have a loved one deployed overseas, like we have 2,700 1st Brigade Combat Team members over in Kuwait.
That's right.
I know you talk about this to the families a lot, and you're a busy man these days. Can you tell us a little bit about how they cope with the holidays with someone being absent?
Yes, and you know, many of the challenges that the families face is there's a lot of worry, there's a lot of fear and anxiety with reference to their soldiers being in a combat zone. And, you know, one of the things that we find with families is sometimes there's sort of a process where there's maybe a little bit of denial there that this whole thing is going on and the stress and the pressure of schedules and whatnot. And so sometimes we tell the families that self-care, well, not sometimes, all the times, that self-care is absolutely necessary in order to sustain, you know, what they're going through. And that's a challenge, especially during the holidays, of all the demands with the children and families and extended families and parties and Christmas and all this, and not have their soldier here. And so self-care is very important. We want to surround ourselves with people that are very helpful and who are positive, maybe start a new tradition, but really looking at understanding what their own self, their needs are, and their family's needs, and not necessarily creating all these checklists for these things that we have to do, but rather, you know, taking time to take stock in oneself, see what I need, and really engage in really real self-care.
Chaplain, do some of the families stay too busy trying to meet holiday traditions and expectations, and I'm guessing maybe sometimes they just have to back down and just say, no, let's do what we can do.
Yeah, and we find, especially with military families, that it's really hard to say no a lot of times. And they want to try to meet the needs of everybody and their children and themselves, and they want to meet the needs on all sides of the families and not create, you know, any kind of smoke and issue there. But it is okay to say no. And it's hard enough with the spouses dealing with the separation and living day to day in sort of this fearful scenario where there's loneliness and sadness. And that is the sacrifice that our families pay that are unseen. It's the loneliness, the day in, day out, living in anxiety and in fear, and the children sometimes wondering what's going on. And even though they might see daddy on Skype and they might talk to the mommy on the phone, it's a challenge that our families live with day to day to day to day throughout the entire deployment. And so those are the things that I think our listeners would want to make sure that they're in tune with in trying to understand the needs of the military family, that this is a stressor that goes all throughout the cycle. It's not a day-to-day thing. So trying to find ways to help them, and the military, of course, has got all kinds of resources to do that.
We're speaking with Chaplain Hokanen, one of the chaplains from the Minnesota National Guard, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Chaplain, with so much going on and people trying to keep up with things, how do they prioritize for the holidays?
Well, that is a really, really critical piece. And I think that pacing oneself is important. It's necessary. And trying to understand what really is critical and what's not critical. And, you know, in that, we've find ourselves being caught up with things that may not necessarily be so realistic. And we create this long list of things that we need to get done, maybe in the period before or period after holiday. In some cases, soldiers come home during the holiday. It just depends on the, you know, the unit roster and whatnot. But we have to get all these things done before our soldier gets home. Or we have all these things to do when the soldier comes home. And, you know, when they come home on mid-tour leave or they get their break, it's very important to treat that as a vacation and prioritize according to what is really critical and what's maybe stuff that can be put off to the side, and not feeling like we have to get all these tasks done and get all this stuff accomplished before so. That R&R is exactly what it needs to be, and it should be what it needs to be, and that is a break, a vacation. And then we need to plan for it to be that way. So prioritizing in terms of critical needs is essential, and during the holidays especially, leisure time is a priority. And we want to spend time with people that are enthusiastic, friends that are surround us who truly love us and empathize, maybe not offering all this advice, but rather, you know, hey, we understand, we listen, and we just want to be here and support you, and it's okay to say no.
So do what's best for you and your family and let the rest go.
Absolutely, at least temporarily.
Chaplain, we've got a lot of members of the 1st Brigade Combat Team deployed, and that means you've got a lot of families that I know you've been busy this fall season. Can you give us an idea of the type of issues you're helping families through?
Well, we're seeing a lot of stuff that's around stress mitigation, of course, and there's a lot of stuff with loneliness. So the FRGs, the family readiness groups, are, you know, giving them some opportunities to get unit information and keep the people informed as best as we can. You know, there's the Strong Bonds retreats that we do throughout this period. In fact, we have a Strong Bonds retreat coming up here on the 13th and 14th of January for deployed spouses, and that word is out, strongbonds.org. And there's other stuff that we do at the unit level, and we have Christmas parties, and the FRGs conduct those. In fact, one of the units down that I was talking with, the NCO down there today, they're having a Christmas party. So it's real. There's all kind of thing that we offer to help the families be sustained and keep them connected as best as we can. And but yet, at the same time, there's still the challenges that are out there. So we try to provide what we can to keep the families connected, to help them feel like they're going through this alone. With our wounded, I kind of call through them and list and call their families and call them up and make sure that their needs are being met. We just made a visit down to see our wounded warriors down in Fort Riley, and it's just a tremendous opportunity to connect with our soldiers, and what a wonderful thing.
And Chaplain, sometimes with that many members gone, there's some bad things happen too, and you're there to help the families with that as well.
Yeah, the family crises don't stop, and there's still issues and with families and loved ones. They lose and they pass on, and there's all kinds of stuff that accidents happen and whatnot, and you know, life goes on, if you will, and the world keeps spinning. And trying to help families through those crises is an essential part of what we do, and it's a privilege for me to be able to be there in some of those sad moments, some of those happier moments, some of those moments when there's a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. And, you know, having a unit representative like the chaplain or somebody else there that's walking along with them is helpful for the families. And but on the other hand, sometimes we don't know about all those issues. The family needs to inform us. And so we dig in real hard as much as we can to make sure that we're on top of those things and providing the family care that they need.
Chaplain, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the sacrifices that military families make and some of the tools that you have available, as well as a Christmas Day message that you'll have for us a little later in the show.
Fantastic.
This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us.
Hello, my name is Sergeant Major John Lepowski with one of the 194 Armored in sunny Camp Virginia, Kuwait. I'd like to give a shout out to my family and friends back home in Minnesota. Happy holidays.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and joining me today is Chaplain Captain Vince Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard, and we've been talking about coping with the holidays and some of the issues for the families. Chaplain, I got a couple of brief messages I want to just read to you. We had one at Thanksgiving from a member of the United States Army in 1968 in Vietnam, Denny Rates, and he has he brought back a commander's message that he received on Christmas morning from Creighton Abrams, commanding general of the United States Army. It goes like this. Christmas has a special meaning for American soldiers in Vietnam. Amid the tragedy and ugliness of war, the holy season reminds us of the joy and beauty of peace. In a land whose people struggle for a better life, the Christmas message brings cheer and hope for the future. We who serve in this distant land may be justly proud. On this Christmas day, no finer gift may one provide than to give of his own, that his brother might share what he himself enjoys. This is what we are doing as we assist in supporting the Vietnamese in their struggle to maintain independence. And then I've got an excerpt from a letter from Major General Rich Nash, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. And part of what he says is, as we come together with family and friends, let us keep in mind the many families at home with an empty seat at their table. Being part of the National Guard family has inherent sacrifices, and it is especially important to remember those families and their deployed loved ones during this holiday period. Chaplain, in these days, as opposed to the world wars, there's a small percentage of our population that's involved in the military and out sacrificing for our way of life and protecting our country. But not only does the military sacrifice when they're deployed, but the families do as well, and you're deeply involved in that, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Tom, and that's the unseen sacrifice that our sons and daughters are making for our country at this time, and that day-to-day grind of loneliness, that day-to-day grind of uncertainty, feelings of sadness, and even in some cases terror, fear, and those do not go away. And that's the sacrifice that our families are making internally. Not only is there the realities of combat and war, but there's this day-to-day process in our families that they're struggling with each minute, each day that goes by. And that is a sacrifice that our fellow Americans, I hope, would not only recognize, but be willing to respond to and in any manner of way. And there are all kinds of ways that they can respond to that. Mostly, though, is caring enough to extend out a hand to help or give them a call, or if you know of a soldier that's deployed in their families, and give them a word of encouragement, send them a Christmas card, or just something simple like a phone call, say we care about you. And that will really help the family feel that they're not going through this thing alone.
We're speaking with Chaplain Hokanen from the Minnesota National Guard on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Chaplain, a lot of listeners and a lot of the folks that are guests on the show come in and their first reaction is, what can I do to help support the troops? But a big part of that is, while the troops are deployed, they're well taken care of by the military, but the part of the question should be, what can I do to help support the families?
That's right. And the families have all kinds of, resources at their fingertips that can be helped. And, it's not just a Christmas card or a gift card or something like that to help. I mean, that's all wonderful, and God bless those that do that. But the military also has its system, and there's the family assistance centers that have their fingertips on all manner of resources that are out there in the state. And we've heard success story after success story, even combined with the Beyond Yellow Ribbon networks, that families get what they need. And there's resources out there that businesses and others that have offered support, and we get those folks plugged in and get those needs met. And there's the director of psychological health and the military family life consultants that are standing by and that are working really hard to help mitigate problems through this time, that are there for all manner of support. And there's also the transition assistance advisors, the VA, and the OEF, OIF, OND, coordinators at the VA. There's just all kinds of resources out there that we provide to help families make it through this, and then also to help soldiers, of course, too.
And Chaplain, our listeners may not know, but the Minnesota National Guard has a good-sized chaplain corps, and some of these other organizations are tools in your toolbox. How many chaplains are there? And I know how hard you work to try to take care of the families, but can you give us a little more background on that?
Well, we have chaplains at all battalion levels. I think the number is like 21 or something like that as far as chaplains. We have chaplain candidates But the chaplain corps obviously is very much engaged and taking care of families and doing what they can to take care of their soldiers. But there's one rear deck chaplain, and that's me. And Chaplain Morris and I work in the state. You know, he works obviously as a JFHQ chaplain, a state chaplain, and we work together as a team, and he kind of leads the ball and leads the course, and we follow in and do our best to do, you know, really good ministry for families, not only through just the entire deployment cycle, but especially, you know, during this time of holidays.
And I'm pleased to learn about the Chaplain Corps, and you and Chaplain Morris are doing a fantastic job. And if any of the military families out there need any help, get a hold of the chaplains, and they'll take care of you. Chaplain Okunen, we just got a couple of minutes left, and I know that you had a Christmas message for us this Christmas Day morning.
I do, and as we think of this time where we're recognizing the birth of our Lord, this special time of even perhaps transitioning in seasons, I wanted us to be prepared to think about that with our families and what's one or two ways that we can express our gratitude for not only our nation and for our freedom, but for those that are making sacrifices on our behalf and the families that are out there toiling each day and the struggles that they're facing. Help us to say a prayer for all of our soldiers in the military. Help us to do what we need to do to live right, moral lives and earn what our soldiers are fighting for. It's very important that we be thankful to our God for what we have, and we express gratitude in this time. I also wanted to offer a prayer, and I pray, Father, that you grant our soldiers and our families peace during this time that we celebrate the birth of your Son. Give us joy at this time as we sacrifice our time, our talent, and treasure to serve our families and our nation. Protect our soldiers in harm's way. Help us to do all that we can do to live good lives, moral lives, to support and care for one another, but also help us to be people who are people of truth and integrity. Help us to live a life that's worthy of your calling. We give you thanks for what you've done for us. We depend upon your peace and presence each day, and I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Chaplain, it's always good to talk to you, and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule helping our families to join us on the radio. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
All right, Tom, thanks for having us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir. That was Chaplain Captain Vince Hokunen from the Minnesota National Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, Colonel Eric Kerska, and Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Captain Vince Hokunen, Commissioner Larry Shelledo, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Before we go, we'd like to welcome home 40 airmen from the Minneapolis-St. Paul-based 133rd Airlift Wing. The airmen returned Wednesday after a deployment to the Middle East. Please join us next week, New Year's Day 2012, as we talk about the Yellow Ribbon Network in New Ulm and the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.